this morning. Thank you again for joining us. We are honored that you would take the time to be a part of our live stream. And I know there's lots of live streams out there, but we're honored. This message will be a help to your spiritual life, that you'd be able to use God's Word as a stepping stone, that you'd be able to grow and move forward in your Christian life. Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to begin our reading in verse number 1 together. We are preaching through the book of Isaiah, and we're looking at the messages that God has for us each and every day. And we are in the 7th chapter, Isaiah chapter 7, and then we're going to look at verse number 1 together. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz," this is 738 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. It's important as we go through this message. 738 years before the coming of the Messiah. "The son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, 'Syria is confederate with Ephraim.' And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, 'Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, Shear-Jezhab, thy son, and the end of the conduit of the upper pool, and the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Rephaim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us take a breach therein for us, and to set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tubali. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand," this is verse 7, neither shall it come to pass. "For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and therein 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, and it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." Now he's speaking here, of course, of King Ahaz and his kingdom. If you don't trust God, if you don't believe God, then your kingdom will not be established. Verse 10. "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O host of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore," verse 14, "the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." I want us to notice what the Bible says in verse 13, if we could. This is my title for my message this morning. Will ye weary my God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at your word, Lord. We need your Spirit's help. Lord, we are not smart enough. We don't have enough wisdom to be able to discern this spiritual truth. So, Lord, I pray you would help us. I pray you would guide and direct us. Convict us, Lord, if we're heading in the wrong direction. Exhort us, Lord, if we're doing right. Help us, Lord, to walk in your truth, to trust you each and every day. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this message this morning with a question. Do you trust God in the depths of your soul? Now, only you can answer that, and only you can answer that to God. Do you trust God in the depths of your soul? Are you willing to risk everything for Him? If you cannot come to that place, then you are not going to be a successful servant of God. Now, the text that we have before us is broken down in 3 points, 3 areas. First of all, chapter 7 to chapter 12 gives us the experience of Ahaz. And this experience is not a good experience. This is the experience of King Ahaz not trusting God. And when we look at the experience of King Ahaz not trusting God, we also find the results of what happens when we don't trust God. In chapters 36 to 39, we find the experience of Hezekiah. We find the experience of Hezekiah trusting God and the results of what happens when you trust God. Now, in chapters 13 to 35, in between there, we're going to find lessons of trust and why we should trust God in our life every day. Now, before we jump into this message, a message about trusting God, I want us to have some context so that we understand what's happening and the stress and the pressure on King Ahaz and the opportunity that he had to trust in God. Now, I already mentioned in a previous message that the Assyrians are on the march, and they're heading to Egypt, and all of these small little nations that are in their way are in big trouble. I mean, this is an aggressive king, and he's looking for blood, and the Assyrians were such a wicked nation. They were such a fierce nation. I mean, it was terrifying to be captured by the Assyrians. You'd be tortured and killed. I mean, it was terrifying for these Assyrians to be marching before you. And so these little nations are in the pathway, and these little nations are in trouble. And so they have this idea that the only way that they're ever going to survive against the Assyrians is that they cause or they create a coalition. They're going to come together, and they're going to come together as a nation. And this is the very first campaign of, we're all in it together, come together, let's come together, and let's make this happen. And so what they decide to do is Assyria and the northern kingdom, Israel, they come together, and they're going to force Judah to be a part of this coalition. And so Samaria, with its capital in Damascus, and the kingdom from the northern kingdom Israel, they decide that they're form this coalition, and they're going to attack Judah. And so Ahaz, the king of Judah at this particular time, he's not going to be a part of this coalition. In fact, he had made some other plans. He had talked with the king of Assyria, and he had created his own plan and how he was going to get out of this mess. And so the Bible says in our text here that Israel and Syria are coming up against Judah, and Ahaz is terribly afraid. In fact, the Bible says that the whole nation of Judah and the king, their hearts dropped as the wind would blow through the trees, and you would see all of those trees kind of bending low together in the wind. That was the heart of Judah, and that was the heart of King Ahaz. I mean, they are terrified when they hear that Israel and that Syria has come together to create a coalition and that they were marching toward them. I mean, they're afraid. And so God sends his prophet Isaiah with a message. And God tells Isaiah to go to King Ahaz and tell him this simple truth: trust in God. Isn't that sound like a simple truth? Trust in God. Trust in God. He's going to take care of it. Trust in God. It's all taken care of. God has a plan. All you have to do is trust in God. In verse 4 of our text, he says, take heed. Keep yourself from fear. He says in verse 4, don't be faint-hearted, be strong and be fearless. This, verse 7, this coalition is not going to last. He said it's going to fall, it's going to crumble. So you have to trust God. And God says to Ahaz, go ahead, ask me of a sign. Go ahead, ask for a sign, and I will show you that I'm in control. I will show you that I am Judah's protector. I will show you that I am the one in control, that I have a plan. But Ahaz wouldn't ask God for a sign. In fact, he says, well, I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to prove God. Now, that sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? That sounds pretty spiritual. There are people who act spiritual and they have the words to say, but King Ahaz, his heart was far from God. He wasn't interested in proving God, because if he proved God and God showed himself faithful, he was going to have to obey God. And Ahaz had already, in his mind, had already decided that he wasn't going to follow the Lord. Piety can be a wonderful cover-up for unbelief. And here we have King Ahaz. He's not going to prove the Lord. By the way, when God tells us to prove Him, God wants us to prove Him. You know, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, you know what, if you're not a tither, if you're not a giver to God, He says, I want you to give to me. I want you to bring the tithes to the storehouse, and you can prove me. You prove me, and I'll show you that if you give to me, I'll give back, and I'll bless you greater. God says, prove me. I want to be proven to be true, because God is trustworthy. And yet King Ahaz said, listen, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to prove the Lord. I'm not going to ask for a sign. And so here we find that King Ahaz has decided that he was going to make an alliance with the king of Assyria. And so what he did is he went into the temple and he took all the gold and all the silver and he put it all together and he came to the king of Assyria. And you can find this in 2 Kings chapter 16. He went to the king of Assyria and he said, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to attack Israel and I want you to attack Syria. And that's going to fix my problem. That's going to fix my problem. Can you imagine how the king of Assyria felt when the servant walked in and said, you know, the king of Judah, he has all this gold for you because he wants you to attack Israel and Syria. And the king of Assyria, the king of Assyria must have said, hey, this is crazy. I mean, he's going to pay me for doing something I'm going to do anyway. And so here the king of Judah makes an alliance with the king of Assyria. And this frustrates God. This angers God. And in verse number 13 of our text, Isaiah said, listen, I can understand why you would weary a man. I can understand why you could weary the people. But Isaiah said, are you going to weary my God also? Are you going to cause God to lose His patience with you? Are you going to exhaust the long-suffering of God? And Isaiah said, listen, God's going to give you a sign. I know you didn't ask for it, but God Himself is going to be that sign. And he says in the Scripture that a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah said that when that child is about 3 years old, the two nations that you are so afraid of, the two nations that you fear so much, Syria and Israel, by the time that child is 2 to 3 years old, those nations will be gone. And this is the message that we have before us. Now, this message is not only for the king, King Ahaz. This message that we have before us is a message for us. And so I want us to look at some practical truths for our life today. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? Number one, we tend to lean on our own understanding. I think we would all agree with that. You can nod your head, yes, yes, Pastor Burns, you speak the truth. We tend to lean on our own understanding. It is our natural direction to try to figure things out on our own. Ahaz tried to figure it out. And instead of trusting in an almighty, holy God, Ahaz decided to trust in his carnal direction, his carnal understanding. The Bible says that because of the direction of Ahaz, it would bring lots of hurt and harm to his life. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, when we trust in God with all of our heart, we are not going to lean on our own understanding. The problem is we lean on our own understanding because we don't trust God with all of our heart. Jeremiah said this in chapter 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Listen, it's a tough world out there. And we are bombarded with burdens and blessings all at the same time. And sometimes it's hard to know where to go and what to do and the direction of our life. And I want to remind you that what makes sense to you and what makes sense to me, it may not make sense to God, because His thoughts are higher than your thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. And, you know, God knows more than you and God knows more than me. And it just makes sense for us as Christians to trust God, who knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. God is in control of the circumstance. It just makes sense for us to trust in Him. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17, if you turn there with me, Exodus chapter 13, and I want you to see what the Bible has to say here, because this is going to show to us that our ways and our understanding is not the same as God. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17. The Bible says this, chapter 13, verse 17, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." Now, it would make sense for us to go the way of the Philistines. That was the more direct route. That, in our understanding, that's the pathway that I would go. That's the direction I would go. But that was not what God wanted. That was not God's plan. God knew the end from the beginning, and God knew what was best. Would you agree with that? God knew what was best. And they could have argued the pathway and said, "I don't understand why we don't go the way of the Philistines. I mean, that's the more direct route." No, God always has a plan. Always has a plan. And God's plan is always best. You see, friend, listen to me this morning. Sometimes when things are falling apart, they're actually just falling into place. God is in control. And the more you trust Him, the more He amazes you that, hey, God is in control of my life. And yet we always want to lean on our own understanding. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but several years ago I was playing with the kids in my mother's swimming pool. And I jumped into the shallow end, and I cracked my knee on the concrete pad. Boy, did that hurt. I mean, it hurt so bad, I ended up in the emergency room, and the doctor did an x-ray, and he confirmed to me that I did not break my leg, but I did badly bruise the bone. And so he handed me some crutches and said, "Here, you're going to have to use these for a while." I'd never broken a bone in my life, and so, you know, I'd never used crutches, and it was all new to me. And every single time I would go up to go someplace, then I would just get up and I would start walking. And it didn't take long for my knee to remind me, "You can't do that. It's going to hurt." And it did. And that's how we live the Christian life. We try to walk in our own wisdom. We put weight on our own wisdom, our own might, our own riches. And we soon realize that it is going to cause pain. You know the story of Adam and Eve and the story of the first Adam. The Bible says that Eve was deceived in thinking that God was holding back something from them. And Satan had come and said to Eve, "Listen, if you take of that fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to be like God." And you know the story. The Bible says that Eve took of that fruit, gave it to her husband. Adam ate that fruit and plunged all of humanity into sin. And sometimes we get the attitude, "Well, you know, God is holding back from me. I have to go my own way and I have to do my own thing." But friend, listen to me. God is not holding back anything from you. God knows what is best for your life. And sometimes God's blessings are not in what He gives, but what He takes away. Sometimes God's blessings are not in what He gives, but what He takes away, because He knows what is best, and we are to trust in Him. Our own understanding has continued to get us into trouble. We turn our head from God and we decide we know what is best. We're going to do it our own way. And that was the issue with King Ahaz. He said, listen, I know what I have to do. I have to make an alliance with the Assyrians. I have to take control. I have to take charge. And Isaiah said, no, Ahaz, you need to trust God. You need to let God take care of it. And we see that Ahaz made a mess. You can read the ending of chapter 7. We don't have time to go through it all. But Ahaz made a mess because he decided to do it himself and not trust in God. Number two, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? We can trust in God. We can trust in God. You say, well, Pastor Burns, it's just too hard for me to trust in God. I cannot see tomorrow. I don't know what the future holds. How can I step out into the dark and trust God? Friend, listen, you can trust in God. He has given to us everything that we need for us to trust in Him. I like what the songwriter penned. He says, I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. It's the greatest thing in all the world to trust the Lord in your life each and every day. And God says to Ahaz, He says, Ahaz, ask for a sign. And God will show you and prove to you that you could trust Him. Ask for a sign, Ahaz, whether it be in the heights above or whether it be on the earth. You ask for the sign and God will give it to you. And God will show you that He can be trusted. God is always trustworthy. Amen? You believe that? He is always trustworthy. The Bible teaches us that God is our protector and He is always trustworthy. Don't trust a heathen king. That's what God's saying to Ahaz. Don't trust in a heathen king. Can you imagine trusting an unsaved person over the Bible? Isn't that terrible? I've seen it before. I've had people in my office that listen to the opinion of the world. I've had people in my office that followed the philosophy of this world and the counsel of the unsaved. And yet the Bible is filled with the truth that if you trust God, you'll be blessed. If you turn from God, you're going to reap the consequences of unbelief. And I've seen it. The Bible is filled with testimonies of and examples that God can be trusted. Abraham and Sarah, God can be trusted. When God makes a promise, God keeps His promise. Moses, I want you to lead over 1 million Jews out of slavery, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. Lord, you don't understand. I can't do it. Yes, you can do it, Moses, because I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to help you. I'm trustworthy, Moses. You can trust in me. I think of Rahab. I think of Joseph. I think of Paul. I think of the disciples. Time and time and time again, we're reminded that God can be trusted. The Word of God gives testimony that God can be trusted and that we can put our faith and trust in Him for all the promises, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. So be it. They will come to pass. God cannot lie. God always keeps His Word. When God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. You can always trust in Him. The counsel of the ungodly will fall, but the will of God will always last forever. God can be trusted. Friend, listen to me. God can be trusted in your salvation. In your salvation. We are sinners by nature. Unfortunately, we are sinners by choice. And we choose to sin. Why? Because we like to sin. We like to sin. And we have a sin problem. We have a sin debt. And our debt cannot be paid. I cannot pay your sin debt. Brother Mark can't pay your sin debt. Our church cannot pay your sin debt. You can't come to me as your mediator and you can confess your sin to me all you want. I can't do anything about your sin. A denomination can't do anything about your sin. I mean, you can come into a baptismal tank and, you know, you can come in as a dry sinner and leave as a wet sinner, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be a sinner. There's nothing that we can do about your sin. Only Jesus can make the difference. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And He can be trusted today. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus, and He'll wash away your sin, and He'll give you a home in heaven. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say, "Pastor Burns, how can I trust it? How can I trust Him that if I ask Him to save me, and I believe the gospel that when I die I'll go to heaven?" Because God can be trusted. He cannot lie. And when God makes a promise, He keeps His promises. The Bible says He can be trusted in salvation. He can be trusted in your sorrow. You have a broken heart today. No matter what comes in your life or the circumstances that come into your life, the hardship that comes into your life, listen, God can be trusted to help you in those sorrows in your life. He can be trusted to comfort you and to guide you. He is there. He's in control. He knows the beginning from the end, and He's everywhere in between. God can help you in your salvation, and He can be trusted in your sorrow, and He can be trusted in your stresses. The pressures of life get us down, and the everyday stresses that come into our life are a burden and a weight on our life and a hardship on our life. And yet there is rest in God, and He can help you in the problems and the stresses of your life. He can comfort you and guide you and comfort you and give you what you need in your life and lead you through those hard times. I'm saying to you that God has given to us everything that we need today to trust in Him. And God, thirdly, if you're taking notes, thirdly, God delights when we trust in Him. You know, the Bible gives us an interesting thought. And as we read the Bible, it allows us to see God in a greater way. And here Isaiah said, "Listen, I understand that you're trying my patience. I understand that you are a weary to me." But Isaiah says, because of Ahaz and his unbelief and his lack of trust, he says, "But will you weary God also?" It must break God's heart when we decide that we know more than Him. I believe that to be true. It must break His heart. It must be a weary to Him when we decide that we're not going to trust in Him. That we're going to worry about that circumstance, that we're going to try to figure it out, that we're not going to acknowledge Him and come to Him in prayer, that we're going to try to struggle through it. And the burdens that we bear and the hardship that we bear in vain, all because we don't come to the Lord with those struggles and the Lord with those hardships and the Lord with those burdens. And yet He invites us to have confidence in Him. He invites us to trust in Him. The rulers of Judah treated other people poorly, but they treated the Lord even more poorly. And it's sad to think that Christians live their life and they weary God also because of their lack of trust in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God delights when we trust in Him. And we follow Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God delights in our trust. God wanted Ahaz to trust. I mean, what more could he do? What more could God do? He said, "Ahaz, ask for a sign. I'll give you a sign in the sky, in the earth, wherever it be. I'll show you that I can be trusted. Just trust me. Just trust me." And yet Ahaz wearied God in his lack of faith. But fourthly, and I'll be done this morning, I want us to consider the ultimate proof that God can be trusted. The ultimate proof that God can be trusted. Verse 14. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Now, I don't want to ask God. I don't want to trouble God. I don't want to talk to Him. I don't want to get Him involved. I don't want to tempt Him. All right, Ahaz, God's going to give you a sign anyway. I want you to know that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And his name will be Emmanuel. And before that child is 3 years old, those nations that you're so afraid of, those nations that you're not willing to trust God about, those nations that you're worrying and up all night thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to solve this? I've got to figure this out. Those two nations that you're so concerned about, they are going to be gone. God is going to take care of it. Now, this is a difficult passage of Scripture. In fact, C.H. Spurgeon said of this passage, he said, one of the most difficult in the Word of God. He said, it may be so. I certainly did not think it until I saw what the commentators had to say about it, and I rose up from reading them perfectly confused, he said. And that is true. Many commentators would speak of the fact that this passage of Scripture would have to have an immediate fulfillment, because when the child is 3 years old, these two nations would be gone, and within the span of 3 years that had come to pass. And so obviously we know that this had to have an immediate fulfillment, that a young woman, a virgin woman, would get married and have a child, and that child, whether in the royal household, many commentaries have different opinions. Some say it's Hezekiah. Some say that Isaiah, that his wife had passed away and he remarried and had a child with his new wife. And so there's so many different opinions of this, but a son would be conceived, and unknowingly his name would be Emmanuel. And before that boy could eat solid food, before he was about 3 years old, that Israel and Syria would be defeated. That would be the immediate prophecy, and I think we could all agree that would have to be what the Bible is saying. But the Bible teaches us here more than just an immediate fulfillment of prophecy, but we also understand, and this is the greater truth, of the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy is found in the Messiah, the Savior. And the Bible teaches us that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, confirms to us that what Isaiah was talking about was the Lord Jesus, that Christ would come to this earth, God with us, and that He would take care of our greatest need. The ultimate proof that you could trust in God is that when you were helpless, when you could not take care of your debt, your sin debt, and the separation that you had between man and God, listen, God sent His Son to solve that problem because He loves you and He cares about you. And the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy is that God sent His Son Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, and God with us, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Can God be trusted? Absolutely He can be trusted. He proved that He could be trusted on Calvary. He showed us that He cares deeply about us and that He's concerned about our needs. That our greatest need was satisfied in the coming of Emmanuel, and that we can have life eternal through Him, because God wants us to walk with Him and God wants us to live for Him. God can be trusted. So what is your need today? Do you need to look to God for salvation? Maybe you'd say, Pastor Burns, if I was honest with God, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm a part of a denomination, and I've been a part of a denomination since I was a boy, but I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't even know if you can go to heaven. I'm here to tell you, you can go to heaven. You can know you're going to heaven if you put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Maybe today your need is that you need to trust God in your life. You're struggling with different circumstances in your life, and you're tending to live your life like Ahaz. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to step out and do it yourself. You're leaning on your own understanding. Listen, don't be like King Ahaz. I want to give you a truth here that's important. When you live your life in your own strength and your own power, it is never going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. It's going to be a disaster. And that's what happened with King Ahaz. Listen, if you're having struggles in your life and you're having struggles to trust God, listen, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you trust in Him. Ask God to help you walk by faith. Ask God to help you to not lean on your own understanding, but to put your faith and trust in the God of heaven. Friend, listen to me. Don't weary God also. Don't live your life not trusting Him, but walk in the truth of the Bible. Live your life for God, and God will bless you for it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the message that we have before us. Lord, it's a wonderful truth. It's an example, Lord, of a king who decided not to follow You, not to trust You. Because of that, Lord, he led a nation to destruction. Lord, help us not to do the same. Help us, Lord, to trust You. Help us to put our faith in You, Lord, today. And Lord, I pray if there's an individual that is not a Christian, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, Lord, also if there's a Christian that's listening to this message this morning, that's struggling with trusting You, it's stepping in the unknown and completely putting their faith in You, Lord, help them. Lord, You've given them everything that they need. You've proven through Calvary that You love them, that You've met their greatest need. So, Lord, I pray You would help us to trust You more each and every day. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done, for all that You will do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful blessing.